The Running Rich Safety podcast is proudly sponsored by our friends at X-Miles. They're the one-stop pit stop nutrition shop for all of your nutritional needs. From Striker to Stroop Waffles, from Morton to Mountain Fuel, they've got it all down at X-Miles, and you don't even have to go to the shop. You can go onto their website, which is xmiles.co.uk, and order to your heart's content. And the best thing about X-Miles is they have this incredible build a nutrition plan feature, where basically you put in your race, you put in how far it is, how long you reckon it's going to take, how much you weigh, and it works out how many carbohydrates and calories you need before, during, and after. And you can basically add products to your list, and it will tell you exactly how many calories, carbohydrates, proteins, fats, sugars, fibres, salts, caffeines, potassium, sodiums you're getting, which makes life very fucking easy and stops you from having to read the tiny, tiny writing on the back of the packets. X-Miles have given us a discount code. It is 10%, which is actually quite a lot when you're ordering in bulk. And the best thing about this is you can do it as a kind of pick and mix. So you don't need to order 26,000 Morton gels to get free delivery. You can get basically a couple of them, a couple of Stroop waffles. I'm obsessed with Stroop waffles. A couple of bits of scratch, a couple of pH gels, whatever it is that you want to put in your bucket. Make a little delicious basket and then get it delivered free with that 10% discount, which is quite a lot when you are ordering in bulk. My cupboard currently looks like an X-Miles storeroom because I just really do like ordering things and getting loads of money off. So go to the X-Miles website, xmiles.co.uk, order what you need, put in the discount code RWSY10 for 10% off, and away you go. As you've probably realised, this podcast does contain swearing. It contains chats about mental health. It contains chats about sometimes about suicidal ideation. It's very, very honest, and it's definitely not the sort of thing you want to put on in the car during the school run. You have been warned. Let's crack on. Welcome to the Running Won't Save You podcast, series 4, episode 3, with me, Ali Bailey, and my co-host.
Holly Staples.
Yeah.
Holly Forewarning. I've got a bit of a cough, everyone. So it's like, you know, when you've got your earphones in and suddenly you're going to have this really loud coughing noise. That may happen, so apologies. I'm going to try and not let that happen.
I would say that we'll edit it out, but our editor is a 16-year-old boy who gives zero fucks about anything. So, probably.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Hang on, I thought it was Julius.
It's now his son.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, you call Julius a 16-year-old boy? He probably won't like that.
Julius's son, Oscar, is great and we love him. But
do we pay him?
Yeah. But he doesn't care. Like, I'm like, did you listen to the podcast? No. Okay.
So, God. So all of the shit that I've said in it has been kept in.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Unless you say take it out, I don't take it out. We don't have a lawyer. Well, I have got a lawyer, but his name's Zorro and he's a Bulgarian rescue dog. So, but like, yeah, I'm like, you don't listen to it. So Julius listens to it like all the way through to make sure that there is nothing libelous, which there never is. And then
wow.
Oscar just plugs it together like and like puts musical stuff on it. So I don't think he listens
to it. There
you go.
Apologies, listeners.
You say something really fucking horrible about Oscar and see if he even notices. You won't even fucking notice.
Oscar, you're a bleep.
Yeah, Oscar, you're an absolute beep. Thanks, Oscar, for your hard work. Julia's like, it's great. He's learning a new skill. I'm like, he's literally doing it for the cash. He doesn't care. He's not interested in his new skill. So, yeah, that's
fun. He could
fun.
Put on his like bio that he is a sound engineer or something.
Yeah, exactly. Podcast editor.
Yeah, that would be good for his bio CV or something, maybe. I don't know, do people have CVs anymore? I'm not really sure.
They don't fucking have CVs anymore. They're all just going to go and be influencers. How are you? How's your week been?
Oh, you know, it's been a bit of a slow start because last week I was able to start running again. Hurrah, running! You know, that thing that I was supposed to do that everyone does. And I feel like I haven't done for ages, which I haven't done for ages. So I started my walk-run protocol, which is always really weird. And I haven't done it for such a long time. The walk run protocol. I love that word. It just sounds right. And so, because you can't just go out running straight away, especially if you've had a bone injury or any sort of really, injury where you've been out for a long time, because I may be reasonably cardiovascularly fit, but my body hasn't been doing any of that sort of running mechanics. So I have to go out and I have to test the bone after, especially with backs, you've got to be really careful. So yeah, I started off by, what did I do? Was it 1 minute jog, 30 seconds walk?
I'd love to have seen that.
It wasn't nice. And that was the other thing. I was like, brilliant. I've not ran for like 8 weeks and I've done loads of cross trainings, great, but I'll probably feel really like a Bambi,
No,
Like
you
really.
won't.
No, I went out and I was like, fucking hell, I feel worse than I've ever felt in my life. I just felt not knowing that obviously I was having this cold sort of brewing as well, I think, but yeah, it was pretty bad and quite depressing. And I almost like came back because obviously I'm still cross training as well too, because I can't just run for ages because I'd only done like 10 minutes or 15 minutes with a warm up. So I came back and I just got back up to cross training. I was like, I think I just want to carry on cross training. It just feels better. That's the weird thing I find when I've had these injuries, that early on I'm just, I think I talked about this last time, but I'm really so upset and like it's almost like you're in mourning and it's crazy. It's just running, but it means so much to me and it's everything, it means everything I do is running. And so then when it's taken away from you and you know that you can't run for so many months, you're coming to terms with that thought and what you're going to fill it with. But then after the weeks go by and you've got into this routine and you're doing your cross training and you're seeing, that's why I get straight into the cross training and I make a plan and I'm seeing positive things happening. I'm seeing adaption and progress. Then I really don't mind it. I actually, it was like, well, every morning I'm going to do 2 hours. I'm going to get up and I'm going to go straight to the gym. I'm going to do 2 hours before I start work of training. And that's what I'm going to do. Married at First Sight has saved me because I've been able to watch that while I've been on my bike or Arc or Stairmaster. And
And
yeah, and
that's
it's just
the rage
like,
of humanity fuels you, watching that.
that exactly. And so, and I come back and I think, oh, thank God I'm not in that situation. But yeah, it's been really good. And then as you get closer to actually being able to run, it's really weird. It's almost like you go, oh, I don't know. You've been begging, waiting for the days. And when it comes to it, number one, you're nervous that you're going to start running and it's going to hurt again. Number two, you're leaving your sort of comfort blanket of like the gym and the cross training, which hasn't hurt and it's been fine. And then you've also got that realization that you're going to have to start training again and you're going to have to build that fitness up again. And I have got big goals next year and I can't really hang around, but I still got to be really sensible. So that's what's been quite difficult to navigate. And actually, from what I'd been thinking a couple of weeks ago, like counting down the days, I've actually got to the days when I can start running and I've actually felt quite d down about it, which sounds weird, doesn't it? Not only so I started running, felt pretty shit. But the great thing is I've got no pain, I've got nothing, but I'm constantly doing this biofeedback on my body thinking, oh, does that hurt? Is that stiff? Is that? And then it's been like, oh, my hamstring feels a bit tight here, or my glute feels a bit tight there. But of course, all I keep thinking is like, oh, hang on a minute, the actual injury is in this exact point and I feel nothing there. So I've got to remind myself, I've almost got to remind myself of what it's like to run and what I'm supposed to be feeling. And obviously the whole hip area is quite stiff because I've not been doing any of those rotational stuff as such. I've been doing seated, stand, non-impact stuff, but I haven't been doing the rotational and therefore things stiffen up. So I've just got to do that. And then of course I got this cold, not flu, but whatever it was, potentially COVID, I don't know, I didn't test, but lots of people have got it at the moment, so it's hideous. And then that knocked me out and I just had a couple of days off and then I got back into it this week. So I'm up to running like four walk running 4 miles. Woo!
So
Only got to
exciting.
do 100 miles in January. Be fine.
I mean, yeah.
So that's where I'm at.
cool. Good. I'm pleased you're back.
So that,
Pleased.
and how's your week been?
Yeah. Did you know that, when people say everyone's doing it, like with running? You know,
Everyone's
we
doing what?
say,
Everyone's running.
we say that. Like, we're like, everyone does it. Like, they're not.
No, I know.
But the other day I was listening to a podcast about psychopaths, and 1% of the population are psychopaths, right? 0.01% of the population are ultra runners. So there's more psychopaths in this country than there are ultra runners. Isn't that mental? Yet we seem to think everyone's doing it. I just think that's really interesting because I get so many people saying to me, oh, everyone does this. It's like, oh, everyone's doing this. It's like, no, they're not. Like, you're just stuck in this like little weird chamber of thoughts, you
And
know,
here's a question.
constraints.
How many ultra runners, or how many psychopaths are ultra runners?
Lots of them,
I think so as well. I'm literally just going
especially
to
at the
move.
elite level.
I'm going to just move into another room because for some reason my Wi-Fi is not very good. So apologies, listeners. I'm just moving.
Don't fall
Let's see if
over
that
on that
helps.
gravel and hurt your back.
Oh, shit.
What have you done with the hammock?
I've put it under the stairs, but I should probably burn it. I probably will do a sacrificial burning. That might be better now. Sorry, viewers, not viewers, listeners. Yeah, no, you're right. I know, but the thing is, I guess you, unless I turn it all off, which I should do really, when you're, and it's the same. That's why everyone, when I posted about my injury, and I've was obviously quite vocal about it, that's why I was flooded by people who were in the same situation because they feel like they're not in the running club, so. They want to be in the injured or sidelined or illness club, so they feel comfort when you say that that's the situation you're in. Do you know what I mean? So
Do you think, here's a big question, here's a massive question for a Wednesday morning. It's Wednesday, by the way, everybody. Is your self-worth attached to your running? Like, honestly, is it?
yeah, but you mean personally?
Yeah. Well, yeah, your self-worth is like your self-worth. So, like, is it attached to your running?
I don't know if you mean, I don't know if I think self-worth, I think my identity, so it's not the same thing, is it?
No, self-worth, I'm just getting here because I've just written a chapter on this on my new book, everybody. Self-worth is internal and unconditional belief that you're valuable to, like, and that you're worth something. It's unconditional. Well, it's supposed to be unconditional. It's supposed to be like that you're inherently deserving of being here, like respect, love, all that stuff, regardless of anything external. So regardless of your job, your partner, basically it's like if everything had gone, so if you woke up and your house had exploded, your dog was dead, Pete had gone, everything had gone, you had no money, you had no job, you couldn't go running, your legs had been blown off,
Yeah.
would you still have self-worth? That's how you know if you've got self-worth or not.
No.
Right. So that's the thing, right? And I think a lot of people who get injured, I had a question yesterday from someone, I did a talk at a running club in the
Yeah.
evening about injury. What do you do? What do you do when you feel like this? It's like, well, it's not the injury causing the stress or the upset. There's nothing, the injury is just a circumstance. It's your thoughts about the injury that are causing the distress. And distress and suffering comes from not accepting reality. So whenever we feel distressed about something or upset or, like it's about not accepting reality. So if you look at grief, for example, the first stage of grief is disbelief. It's not accepting what's happened, and that's how you struggle. And if you look at relationships, people breaking up with each other or whatever, like it's like you struggle because you're like, well, maybe it'll work, maybe I can change it, maybe I can change that person, but that's not accepting the reality of the situation, which is this is a thing that's happened. So in pushing against reality, that's where the struggle happens, right? If you can accept the reality for what it is, which is just a circumstance with nothing attached to it, and if you can accept that without any emotion, which is really fucking hard to do, you won't suffer. But like if you attach your worth, because he said to me, what would you do if you were injured? He said to me, running is such a huge part of your life. How would you cope if you were injured? I'm like, well, don't assume that running is such a big part of my life. It's part of my life, but it's not such a big part. And it doesn't define who I am. So, like, there's a million and one things I am, run, and I am a runner, but running is not me. Like, I'm separate to running. Like, I have lots of other things that I do. And the other thing is, I'm really trying to work on my self-worth. Believe me, listener, I'm fucking have no self-worth,
But
but
have
I'm
you
really
had
trying.
a long time out from running, though? Have you literally
Yeah,
had a month?
I have had long time out from running. But I've also been very depressed, and I've also had this happening and that happening. I'm not saying I fucking can't do it. Like what I'm talking about is like, because I think it's helpful to people, is your self-worth attached to running? Because if it is, it shouldn't be, and it's something to work on. Because if you get injured and your self-worth is attached to something that's taken away, that you're losing a part of yourself, which is just ridiculous.
Well, then
Like,
maybe I isn't then, because I like I've just said, I was happy not running for like the
yeah,
first
but you
couple
still had to do something else. You couldn't just do nothing.
of Oh yeah, that's yeah that yeah exactly. And I have to move, but it's not running, it's
Or maybe
move.
it's movement,
Yeah,
like,
movement.
but
Oh
that's
yeah.
still extrinsic. That's still external to like to everything else. It's a very like Buddhisty type thing.
I was
A
literally
lot,
about to say Buddhism, it's about
lots
attachment,
of people
suffering.
really fight against it because they can't do it. Like, I can't do this, and I am working on doing it.
But it's part of human nature, attachment. That's the issue. That's the whole thing with Buddhism as well, is about so big loving something, okay, whether that's a person, a thing, a dog, or whatever, it's always going to end sadly. It's always going to end badly because they're going to die. And that's the issue. So do you not have attachment? Do you not
No, it's
have
not about attachment. It's not about attachment. It's about
but
self-worth.
that's
Attachment is totally,
the same similar
it's
thing.
not the same thing. Self-worth is intrinsic, like fundamental sense of your own value as a human being. That's not attachment. It's a fundamental sense of your own value as a human being, regardless of any external factors, including attachment to anything. That's why it's so hard. And we as runners, we're like, I am a runner. Well, you're also a sister, a brother, a mum, a dog mum, a freaking business owner. Like, if you write down all the things you are or all the things you experience, there's fucking thousands of them. But it's about who you are on the inside. This is so deep. I'm really sorry, everyone. If you can get that work done, I said to this dude, the best thing about this is you get to rest. When was the last time you rested properly? Like, when was the last time you lit a candle and looked at it for 30 minutes and turned the telly off, didn't look at your phone? When was the last time you did that? He's like, I've never done that. I'm like, of course you haven't. If you imagine the 1980s, when you got home from work, it was the end of work. Nobody fucking messaged you. Nobody called you. Nobody emailed you. That was the end of work. So you'd relax and watch TV. 20 million people used to watch EastEnders a night,
So
right?
you'd go running or you'd run commute. That's what people did.
Well, no, they yeah, but if you went running, you weren't comparing your stats to other people because you didn't know what they were.
No, I know, but that's what I'm saying. That's what people did in their downtime. People were active and movement, or they did manual
I
labour.
actually argue against that because my parents were not active. None of us were encouraged to be active. Like, that's all happened,
Well,
right? But
that's fair as well.
the point is, we didn't have all this external stuff telling us we should be doing things. And we didn't attach our worth to external, extrinsic things. And we didn't attach our worth to our fucking hobby, which is not what you should be fucking doing. You should not be attaching your worth to your work, your hobby, your relationship, any of that. We all do it. But it is a really dangerous thing to do because you will always feel a sense of loss, or always feel a sense that something is missing because you haven't got that like in touch with yourself thing. And I think that actually injury is a really good opportunity for everyone to have a fucking good look at themselves and like their behavior. Like,
I mean, and that's what I've talked about in all of my stuff. It's honestly brought it always. I always learn something from being injured, whether that's a small niggle or something really big. Like the longest I've been out for is 3 months, just over 4 months, and that didn't teach me as much as this break has taught me. In fact, I shared with you guys, the people I coach, a really good podcast with Keely Hodgkinson, 800 meter runner, Olympian. And she talks about how she's really interesting how she dealt with her injuries and her setbacks last year and this year. I mean, literally in June, she tore her hamstring, and then she was at the World Championships a couple of months later. She started running 5 weeks prior, and it's how she dealt with those injuries. And as she said, every time she thinks actually, she said that the year of injuries that she'd had and setbacks has been the best thing that could have happened, and she would do it again. It's probably quite easy to say that in hindsight, but at
Do you
the
think that though people presenting with that, I have a lot of athletes who are like, who just live through Instagram, the ones that are like, we're all doing it, everyone's doing it. Oh, you know, fucking ridiculous. But do you think that people coming back, like, and then, you know, and then 5 weeks later she was running 100 miles, like, do you think that's helpful? Because I feel like it's just not helpful. Because I feel like it's like saying, hey, this woman's just had a baby and 2 weeks later she's running again. It's like, so? That's her, that's fine. But for other people, that's not how it's going to be. And I feel like people feel there's a pressure to get to fix themselves quicker, or
Yeah, but
like.
that's again, that's an inter that's your personal thing. That it depends on how what sort of person you are. I don't see it like that. I don't look at someone and say, "Oh, they're stupid because they got back to it 5 weeks' time." I look at it and say, "Wow, she worked really hard with all her cross training, and she was lucky enough that she was able to get back." Bear in mind, this is an 800 meter runner. It's quite different to being a
But
marathon runner.
people don't think it's different. The general
Well, they should.
public don't think it's different.
They should do. An 800 meter run is very different to a
Well, I
marathon run.
know. I talk to people all the time who are like, who are saying things like, well, so and so did this. I'm like, they're an outlier. They are a different athlete to you. Like, you can't compare yourself to another athlete that you've seen on Instagram, whether they're an 800 meter runner or whether they're fucking Ultra Dave. Like, you just can't do it.
But I do think that I think there's a lot of good. It's good that you can have positive, look at that as a positive thing. So I had another person reach out to me and say, "Oh, look," because I said, "Look, I'm doing 100 miles in January. It may or may not happen. I'm just going to see what happens." Knowing I've got what, 13 weeks, 14 weeks, and I'm just going to see what happens. I'm going to take every week by week. And then someone reached out to me, a reasonably good athlete, well, a very good athlete, saying that they'd had a baby, they hadn't ran or done anything for 4 months. It's a second baby. And they were back within 5 weeks, they're back. No, sorry, 4 months, they were back competing and they've just done a marathon the weekend. Not crazy fast, but a PB for them. And so it was like, look, and they were just like, look, I think you've got every, I think you've got lots of cross training behind you, and I think that you'll probably be fine. So that for me, that's like, oh, that's really nice to hear. It's when I have people, and then I've got other friends who have suffered the same injury as me and have come back and said, be really careful getting back. And that's in my mind louder than the positive. That's in my mind louder that don't come back too early because potentially your bones haven't healed and you could have a setback, and therefore I'd have to take another month off, which would just be awful. Hence why I am being really slow with these first 2 weeks and still walk running, even though I feel like I could probably just go out and just run. I just don't want to do it because I'm too scared of what could happen. So I mean, maybe it depends on your strength of mind.
It's not your strength of mind. That isn't fair. That is not fair. It is societally, we are pushed to feel shit. We're presented with things that make us that are designed to trigger our inner motivated bias,
But
because
it's
that's
how
what the
you deal with it.
algorithm does,
But it's how
right?
you deal with it.
Yeah, no, but you, but it is how you deal with it. It's how you
Yeah.
respond to it. But if you don't understand why you're responding in a certain way, you can't change that response. So it's understanding why you are responding in a certain way, not using massive, everybody does this, oh, it's just the way I am. That's not how it is. Identifying what the problem is and looking at the reality of the fucking situation, like the actual reality, not what you're assuming from people's fucking social media stuff or from what you've heard or any of that sort of stuff. Like, I think that there is so many people who are living as like zombies, who are just consuming and not thinking what is real and what is not real. What is being presented? How much do I know about this? And like with you, I know that you know what you're doing. So I'm like, okay, I actually think you're fucking insane. I think you're mental doing the arc. I think it's mad. I feel like it's too much. But you know you, so I'm not going to fucking have an argument with you because you fucking know yourself, right? That's fine. But I also don't want other people going, oh, well, Holly trained for a fucking 100 miler in 13 weeks after this terrible, so I'm going to do it. That is not. That's. I don't think that's a good. I don't understand why that. Well, I do understand why people do that, but I don't think that's healthy for people. But like you say, that's other people's response. The key thing is to look at you as a huge, you listener, you on your own, you as an individual. What are you doing? Why are you doing it? What is the result you want to achieve? And not this, everyone's doing it, because everyone's not doing it. And even if everyone was doing it, so fucking what? So fucking what? Like, it's, I just feel like the sport is getting more and more like, it's just making people more and more miserable because of the access to it that they've got. Let's look at the Backyard Ultra, right? It's currently Wednesday. So Sarah's been running for 78 hours,
Yeah.
right? She has done 92 laps. She's beaten the world record. She's done over 380 miles, right?
Yeah, but like, what are people going to be saying about that?
Right. Now, I cannot understand. None. I can't understand this. Like it. Well, I can. I know Sarah really well, and she will not stop. She will not stop until she breaks enough. Right. But and she's doing something incredible. She's trained for years to do this. You know, she's done loads of backyards. She's done lots of FKTs. She's very, very strong. She's getting the little super naps in. But part of me is like, if she does this, like, well, what she's doing already is like fucking nuts. She's definitely going to get to 100 laps, 100%, right? Then what? Where's the bar gone?
Well,
Where's the
it's a
bar
Scott
then?
Sarah at the weekend who just beat the 24-hour world record,
Yeah.
obliterated it. And I watched her do it on YouTube. And I'll be honest, it was just horrific watching because she just looked like she was going to, well, she did collapse
She
after
looked
the bar.
fucking appalling at the end, didn't
Like,
she?
she looked like, without being rude, but just like an old person
That's
trying
what
to.
I thought. Like, I was like,
It
what the fuck's
was
going
quite
on?
upsetting watching, if I'm honest. And yeah, and I guess I look at stuff like that, and we're all like putting people like that on a pedestal.
You have to put Sarah on a pedestal, though, because she's only 4'2". You can't see her otherwise.
Yeah, true. But I do think like, yeah, what's the what does that what do people watching that think, and people who maybe who aren't sure of themselves, like we've just been saying, and want to go out and do crazy, not to that level, but stuff like that.
I absolutely love Sarah, right? I love her. She is one of my best mates. I love her. She's fucking brilliant, right? Really supportive, lovely. Just the nicest person you can meet. Unless you cross her, then she's not. Never crossed her. Never done that. But I have sat here this morning and got literally, honestly, and gone, oh fuck, like everything I've done doesn't mean anything. Like the spine doesn't mean anything. If she can do this, then what's the point of me doing the spine? That's my first inherent honest thoughts. I've automatically gone into like looking at my friend and being like, well,
Funny, I wouldn't
she's
think
just
that at all.
she well, I would. That's my inside, that's what goes on my insides, right? And I have to go, what are you, I have to literally look at myself and go, what are you doing? Why are you thinking that? You're allowed to think that. That's cool. You can think whatever you want. A lot of the
So
time
that's
I think I'm
comparison.
a lot of the time I think, no, it's not comparison, it's what I'm thinking. I'm not going, I couldn't do that, or I could do better, or I need to do better. I'm not, that's, it's not that. I'm honestly being honest, right? My thoughts are, the bar has now gone so high that what's the point of me doing anything? Why am I thinking that? Oh, because you want people to validate you, Ali, and you want people to think you're really good at something. Why is that? Because you're quite needy, and you need this, like, you've got this codependency thing. And that's honest. That's me being honest. Like, you won't hear people say that. You'll hear people say, oh yeah, no, I'm supporting my friend, she's incredible. And I am. She's fucking incredible. But part of me is like, fuck, the bar has just gone up so high that no one's ever going to look at the things that I do and think I'm brilliant. That's, you're allowed to think that. That is honest, right? Because what one of the reasons I do things is to, it's because I like people telling me I'm good at stuff. I love it. I live on my own, don't have a partner. Like, I love it when people tell me I'm good at stuff. Even if I can't take a compliment,
I was about to say, but then you hardly accept it,
Well,
though.
I don't have that ability yet, but I'm working on saying thank you. But still, it's nice to, it's it, you know, when you do something where you're like, I'm just getting my head around dragon's back, and I'm like, I did do a good job. I should be proud of myself. I'm just getting there 2 months later. But it's like, it's just really, I just find it really fascinating. And also, this whole thing about everyone's doing it, it's kind of doing my nut in. Because what they are doing out there is
But I said it in a
ordinary.
flippant way,
No,
as
I'm not
in
talking about you. I'm talking about everyone.
true, I know. So can I just say what just is a really interesting question, and it was an interesting question to all the listeners actually. What is your first thought, male and female, when you see what Sarah's doing at the moment? Well, any of them, let's be honest, any of them that are doing at the
And
moment,
you
because
know
there's
what? You can write in about this, because next time I talk to Holly, it'll be in 2 weeks' time. She could fucking still be there.
Yeah, exactly. I want to know what people's thoughts are looking at this, because there's a lot of stuff on social media and people are posting stuff about it. And I'd love to know what your first thoughts are when you see it, because it's really interesting what Ali's just said, and it's not what I expected. I'll be honest, I didn't expect you to say that. My first thought was not that at all. My first thought was, and it's the same with Sarah Webster, like, yeah, it's incredible. But oh my God, I really am worried about their health. Like, literally, next year they could both be not be able to run ever again.
Yeah, but we could get hit by a car tomorrow.
You could, yeah. But I see things like I want to be running forever until I get hit by a car. And so I look at stuff like that, and I know how, like, maybe it's just me. I think, again, that's probably my bias because of my fragility of my body. Well, although it hasn't been fragile for a long time, but it's for me, this injury has awoken my old feelings. So before 2018, I constantly got injuries. Like, literally, I'd get a stress fracture every twice a year. That's a lot. And it would be just distress, so heartbreaking for me. And I'd be like, why is this happening? And it wasn't until I did the changes, etc. So for me, every time I wouldn't book training camps, I wouldn't book a lot of races because I was so scared. A lot of time I'd have to cancel them and I'd lose money and I would be so let down. So for me, it was always about being let down. And I've always felt like that for a lot of things in my life, being let down by people, and I was being let down by my body. So this time, I think especially, it's happened again. It's opened up that little door again where I'm just like, okay, well, I can't really make massive plans and I can't book things. Hence why I am doing the ARC, because I don't want to do something abroad, because I don't want to go and book something and know that potentially I won't get there and my heart will be broken. So therefore, that's why I probably look at people like Sarah. And I think, oh, I really hope they're going to be all right,
But that
because
is putting your experience onto them.
that's what I just said. It's my bias. It's like, that's exactly, and it's the same with you. But that's how I think. I'm just looking at it going, oh God, I really hope, because I'm thinking about, like, so I ran 300 miles in March. And am I in this situation because I ran 300 miles in March? I don't know. Did I fall out of hammock? Yes, we don't know. But you just think, your mind. That's how I work. So that's interesting how that's how I thought about it. I didn't think about a comparison at all.
It's not a comparison. I'm not comparing. I'm saying the bar, like I'm like, if that is what is
No, I
possible.
mean,
This is the
you.
deepest, darkest bits of myself. I'm a fucking horrible person deep down. It's something I really have to. I'm horrible to myself. I'm fucking horrible to other people. It's a defense mechanism to stop people getting close, right? And I'm really working on it. But I'm being fucking honest because you're not going to hear another podcast where someone's going to say that these things. You're just not going to do that. I'll be absolutely fucking honest. It's not a comparison. It's like fucking hell. The bar has now moved so high that, like, how am I going to get my hit of validation? I'll get my hit of validation from myself. That's where I should get it. But I'm allowed to ask those things and acknowledge that I'm asking them, not bury them and go, oh my God, I'm so proud of my friend. She's absolutely amazing, which I am incredibly so proud. My heart aches for her, right? So proud. But two things can live in you at the same time. And this thing of people watching this what's going on in America and being like, that's the new bar for everyone. It isn't. It's like watching Usain Bolt and being like, oh, that's the bar for park run. No, it isn't. But I think because people doing stuff like that are so normal, they look normal, they act normal, you know, there's no money involved in it. It's not being streamed on Sky Sports. It fucking should be streamed on Sky Sports. Like, it's like, oh, that's normal. Because we have it so close to us, I'm friends with her on Instagram, that's normal. It makes those things which are beyond hard. This is beyond what Sarah's doing is beyond hard. I really, really hope that she does the end of season interview with us. She doesn't like talking about herself, but I will try and make her.
You might still be running, so you could just do it when she
Yeah, we just do it live, 2nd of December.
get someone to run with her,
Yeah,
or
Eric's out there. I'll
her.
just get him to. Or Luke, because Luke, because she's being supported by a boyfriend. So Luke is like
He must be
Luke
knackered.
living the same dream. Yeah, except he's not running. So he's spending 50 minutes of his day doing fucking nothing.
Sleeping.
You can't, though, can you? Because you've got to put the kettle on and stuff and get ready and wait for them to come in. Like, I've crewed a backyard ultra. It's really hard because you're like, oh, I know, I can't quite go to sleep.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing. I'll be honest, the backyard ultra thing is such a weird. I think it's really interesting, but it's not my bag. It's the same thing of running around the same loop all the time. It's
But they
just not.
don't. They've got two loops because they've got the
Well,
trail and they've got the road. I think
who cares? You're looking at the same stuff. It's just, yeah, it's
the worst thing is the people because you're trapped with them. You can't run away from them. If you get a really fucking boring person, at least on a race, you can run away from them. Or if you get someone
Yeah.
that's just a harmless fan of the sport, you can run away from them. You cannot run away from them on the
I did
backyard.
that when I did my backyard ultra, but I did meet a really nice guy. In fact, he did the spine same time as, and he did the summer spine. And he's a lovely guy. So Stephen, if you're listening, it was a pleasure spending time with you. But we kept on saying, I'd got all these podcasts and things I was going to listen to. And every time we'd end up running together, I'm like, next one, I'm going to definitely listen to this podcast. And it's like,
Yeah.
they're chatting. I'm like, fucking, I'm never going to get to listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
And I stopped after, I don't know, 14 laps.
Wow.
Yeah. It's
Fucking
not,
hell.
it wasn't my thing, I'll be honest. And also, I have to be honest, I ate so much food because there was
Yeah, I
nothing
can't
else to do.
wait to hear what she's been eating. Can't wait. Like, I can't wait to hear all about it. It's gonna be fucking nuts.
She
Like,
looked well and ready.
me and Sarah and Mellie and Kirsty and Laura going to a castle in Wales for a weekend in November, if she's finished running. I actually invited her to, we're doing the Northern Wainwrights this weekend, and I said, "Oh, Sarah, do you want to come to the Northern Wainwrights?" She went, "No, I'll still be in America." She is still in America, so it's good that she didn't take that fifth bed. But yeah, she's fucking doing incredible. But I think it's yeah, I don't know, I don't know. I'm going through all sorts of things at the moment with my mind, which are not particularly nice. So sorry for throwing up all my darkness into the podcast.
But can we just talk a little bit about something you haven't divulged yet, but we do need to just
I
touch
did
on.
accidentally divulge it at the end of last week because Kirsty guessed.
Oh, did she? Sorry, I haven't listened to last week's. It is on my plate.
She did a guess.
That's the other thing. Because I haven't been out running, I've not been listening to so many podcasts because I can't do podcasts when I'm cross training that much. I like to watch things. That's a big thing that I found out. I love to watch things. Whereas when I'm working for podcasts, obviously I don't watch things when I'm running because it's quite dangerous, but I have tried that. But yeah, so I've missed quite a lot of stuff. So I do
If
need to
you were doing maths, you could probably listen to the commitment ceremony instead of watching it.
No, the commitment ceremony is the best thing. Oh no, and then the dinner parties. Yeah, oh, so brilliant. Anyway.
The hardest thing I've done this week is watching the first episode of the Victoria Beckham documentary.
I actually watched it all in one go and I wasn't that impressed. I
She
thought
is, oh my God, it's like watching
it's
The
not real, is
Office.
it?
It's like watching the UK Office. Like, when she walks into her office and she's like, "Morning, everybody, how are you?" It's like, you've literally never said that. You've literally
That's what I
never
mean.
walked into your
I
office and
thought
said that.
that. I think a lot of it was staged. I don't think she was being real. And the other thing is I want to supply her with flowers for her office, and I'll do it much cheaply. But she's been paying 70K a year. She's been paying someone 15 grand a year just to water them.
I
I'd do
mean,
that job.
I need someone to water mine, actually. I've probably got more than her.
Combined.
They're all fucking
Mine are just.
dying. Hang on a minute. I've house sat for you and watered your plants. You never paid me. I'm going to send you a bill for
I gave you
50
free
grand.
accommodation.
Yeah, that sounds like exploitation to me.
Fucking hell. So anyway, stop trying to get away from the subject. Ali is training for her first proper 5K SmackDown.
Oh, no.
I've been planting this seed in her head for, I don't know, 18 months. It didn't work. And we had to do so many other bigger races to get this into her head. We had to do a really hideous
Why
race
did you do the Summer
through
Spine and
Wales.
Dragon's Back to get away from a 5K
Through
at
Wales. And
Dublin?
then I kept, then she was just like, oh God, I'm so tired. I was like, well, why don't we do a 5K? And then
Oh
that was
God,
the
I'm so
plan.
tired. Well, why don't we do a 5K?
Yeah, because it's less volume. No,
But more hardness.
it's a short, I've told you, I've explained this to you. It's ear bleeding hardness, okay, as opposed to long, drawn out suffering. So I've said, let's just train, let's change this because it's normally the suffering. Let's change this. I know we're still training. This is the interesting thing, people. So I don't think this has ever been done. Maybe you could let me know if you're listening and you've done this, that we're training for a 5K PB whilst also training for the winter spine. So it's completely opposite training how you would prepare really for a 5K normally. But I mean, the good news is you can absolutely train for a 5K mid ultra build. Okay.
Hey, what is good about it, right? It does give you like a focus on your sessions. I know how important your sessions are when you're doing an ultra because I fucking know, but it does make you go, "Oh, actually, this is like a treat."
That's what I mean. That's what I
It's
said. It's
become a
short.
bit of a treat. I don't know what a
Because
treat what's a treat about running 6.5 minute miles. I don't know what the treat is there, but
you actually need to run under that, but
I
we'll
know
get
that.
there.
I know that. I know. Do I? Is it not six? Is it six, not 6:30?
26 4 minute Ks.
Fucking hell, that's just not going to happen.
Well, it will because this is the way this I'm a coach. I
So
don't
am
just
I, and I
you
don't
don't
think I
just
can do
get
it.
okay. Have you do you set people 5K training sessions?
No, I don't. If they want
Right.
that, they have to go to someone else. I tell them to go to you or Centurion if they want that.
Right. There you go. So because you don't just obviously that is our target pace, but we are a bit of a way out. We're not doing the 5K till December, so we've
Yeah,
got
we
some
are a bit of a way out, aren't we? I tell you what, December's like 8 weeks away.
Yeah, exactly. You can train for, we've been doing this for a few weeks now, so 8 weeks is really your minimum, I would say, to prep for a 5K. But we're obviously trying to juggle that with training for the spine. The great thing with you is that you have years and years and years and years of aerobic base, which is what you need for any preparation. So you still need that for a 5K. And then you obviously need to be working on your lactate threshold, which we've been doing for quite a long time as well. But we're just sprinkling that in and also your
Whenever
running.
anyone says lactate threshold, I always think about that's how much milk you produce. It's not though, is it?
That's why people don't come to you for 5K training.
They do, but I say no. I don't say no. You can go away. I'm not interested in that. I give them to you. I always send them to you, or I send them to Centurion, or I send them to Gary. You're welcome.
So, how have you found your training, your 5K training so far?
Well, I go into True Coach and I look it up. How have you found it? This is funny, isn't it?
Yeah, hilarious.
All right, actually. Not too
And have you
bad.
been surprised at how you, so the sessions are much shorter than you've normally done. So we're literally doing one 5K specific session a week, mixed in with all your easy runs, your long runs, and some tempo or Stairmaster. We'd obviously be doing a bit more, but we can't fit it all in. There's only so much we can fit in a week. So the speed sessions that you're doing are much shorter and they're much faster than you've ever done, but you've got longer recoveries because of it. And so how has it felt when you've seen that written down on True Coach, like, this is the pace I want you to run at? Have you looked at it? Because there are loads of times you've said,
Yeah, you changed
you're
it this
going,
week, you fucker.
because that's how I coach. I think you shouldn't just write plans for weeks in advance. You need to look at what the person's done the last session and then you adapt it. That's good coaching. So, that's why I will look at what you've done previously, how you feel, your heart rates, your effort levels, and then we make a change. You've actually surpassed what I thought you could do. So you've been running a bit faster than, so I've not put down some ridiculously paced stuff, even though you think it is, because
Okay,
I
listen,
know.
now listen to this. What I've got to do after this call. Ready? I'm going to tell you what I've got to do after this
I
call.
can't remember what I've said.
Yeah, you can't even remember. 15 minutes warm up. 4 times 1K at 6:30 seconds off 90 second walk. 6:30 minute miles. 5 times 200 meters fast. 200 meters walk.
That's called 5K specific speed
I
work.
know what it is, but I'm like 6:30 minute miles. Are you on fucking cocaine? I mean,
Okay, so
if I was on cocaine, I might be able to do that,
what was
but
your last 5K specific session you did?
I can't remember. It was
But
a
I
hot.
do. It was 800s and you ran that pace.
No, I didn't. I didn't do 6:30s.
I think you did actually.
Well, the thing is, what's interesting is that I sit here going, I can't. I'm just.
Exactly, you're preempting it and
Yeah,
deciding
I do it every time. But the
it.
thing is, I'm actually really good at it now because of the work I do with coaching. I'm like, yeah, this is normal. And you're allowed to feel like that. It's fine. You can think that. That's not a problem. As long as you don't believe it, which I don't. I'm like, you're just going to go and do the best you can do today. And that, honestly, I'm just going to go and do the best I can do today. That's the thing. That's works for me. So I'll go out. It's a really nice day, actually. It's really sunny.
Yeah, it's nice day.
I will eat my. What I won't do is take 80 grams of carbohydrate and then go straight out the door because that's what I did last week. And I tell you what. It was not great.
Did you
It
take your
was.
push double?
The poo shovel wouldn't have done anything. So at the moment they're doing the. It's just brown water. At the moment they're
Take your
doing.
funnel.
Yeah, the worst thing is harvest time where I live. So every time I fucking go into a field, there's a bloke there with a fucking tractor, and I'm like, "Hello, I'm just going to empty this out in your field. It's brown water."
I got caught the other day taking a wee on my dog walk by a guy running, and it was really weird. This is so embarrassing. It was down at Vallis, where you take
Oh,
private daycare.
fuck, because you can't see people coming around the corner, can you?
Right, so there's a bit, I don't know if you remember, where you go under the railway bridge and it's got loads of graffiti, and there's a massive rock which someone has actually spray painted gold, which is quite cool. It looks like a
Oh, that's
massive
nice.
gold nugget. I was taking a piss behind it and I listened, there's no one around, I looked, fine, I'm just going to quickly do a wee, and I can wee quickly. I'm down behind this rock and then I could suddenly hear like running footsteps. I'm like, okay, well, I can duck right down and they'll run past and they won't see me. No, he runs and then he
He
stops.
probably needed a piss, and that's the piss rock. That's why
Oh
it's
my
gold.
God, he stops and he's just standing and I'm basically crunching with my pants down and I'm like, oh my God, he can probably see the top of my ponytail. Do I stand up? Do I just stay?
You say, I'm having a wee.
He comes round and he's like looking and I'm just like, oh, I'm trying to hide doing a wee, and I'm literally there with my pants down.
Was he
Everyone's
masturbating?
embarrassed. He's embarrassed. I'm embarrassed. The dogs are embarrassed. Everyone's embarrassed. So I was like, bah! And he ran off, thank God. But yeah, that was.
He take a photo? Did he snap a pic?
No, thankfully not. He didn't have his phone with him. He just had just a gleeful smile.
I told you about that time on the Arc of Attrition where it was basically, it got really bad, like towards from Land's End to St. Ives. It was like brown water time. There's nowhere to fucking hide there, is there? There's nowhere. It's bleak. There's no
No.
trees, there's no rocks, there's nothing. And because the 50s started, there's actually quite a lot of people like
Yeah.
running, like And I remember just squatting down and just shouting at people because they could see me. I'm not having a poo. Why did I say that?
You know, that's how I met Jodie Galt for the first time in Limitless Trails. I was doing the 20, she was doing the 40. I'm sure I've told this story before, and I was running down a road. I thought I'd gone the wrong way because there was no signage anywhere. And then Jodie was in the lay-by. I think she might have been taking a poo, but it could have been a wee. I'm not quite sure. We didn't really talk about it.
That's the
But
great thing about being a woman. You can
I
never
know. So
tell.
she's just ducking down there. She's sort of standing with her sort of lifting up there. And I was like, oh, am I on the right course? Completely ignoring the fact that she didn't, her pants around her
Her
ankles.
vagina is out and in your
Yeah, and Jodie's
face.
the same. She's like, yeah, it's that way. And I was like, brilliant, see you later. And I was like, oh, sorry, by the way. Love it.
Once I was running the Th Yorkshire Three Peaks. I was coming down off Danglebury. No, it wasn't Danglebury, it was Wormhole, Wormside. I was with some people and I was like, I need a piss. So, and it was a piss. And they kept going and I jumped into a gully. There's a girl running up and I said, hello, did the wee, stood up, pulled my pants up, hello, kept going. And then I got a DM on Instagram from her, this
Oh my
girl, this
God.
random girl, just saying, I saw you on Wernside today, but I went to say hello, but I didn't. And I'm like, that's fucking even weirder, isn't
I
it?
saw all of
I
you.
saw all of you. Yeah. But that's even weirder.
What's the moral of the story? You need to do races. You can do long races that have reasonable coverage.
The moral of the story is don't take 80 grams of carbohydrates and go straight out the door. It's not big, it's not clever, and it's going to end up in disaster. And you're going to have to do your walk break is going to have to be a shit break. And I don't know what to do today.
Go
I don't
take
have my breath yet.
bicarb before, because Pete took bicarb the other day. He's been taking bicarb for a while, but he took a lot of bicarb, and he swears since he's taken that amount of bicarb, it's caused him gastric issues because he has to. He said he literally had to stop on Collier's Way, like the cycle. Again, you've been on that bit where there is places you can go, but he just said there wasn't time to find anywhere.
But I imagine when Pete does it, it's like a Shire horse has had a shit.
He produced like a new pond. It was
Yeah.
liquid.
The next time you went down there was like forensic scientists. The whole thing was cordoned off in a big white tent over the top of it. People in
Yeah, exactly.
spacesuits.
We thought something bubbled up.
I've got lots of comments on bicarb, but I won't do them because it's just me being a cunt. Oops, said cunt. Questions from the audience. We had some good questions actually because people felt sorry for us, so that's good, isn't it? Whenever people are nice to me, it's because they feel sorry for me. Right. Let's have a look. I went to Cornwall actually. It was nice.
Yeah, it looked lovely.
It was nice. I really liked
Love
it. I
it.
started thinking maybe I should move to Cornwall instead of moving to Wales. Then I was
Oh, we're
like,
moving to Cornwall.
you can't fucking afford to live here, you
When you
stupid
say
cow.
that, though, I'm on Rightmove pretty much every day. Things are much cheaper in Cornwall because everyone's selling their second homes, and you can get stuff. It depends on how big. I know you want quite a big palace, but you can
No,
get.
I don't want a big palace. I just need an office and I need room for a sauna in the
I
corner.
said to you could rent my place because it wasn't big enough for your stuff.
It's not. Your house is tiny.
I live here with a massive man and a dog. There's loads of
Yeah, but I've
space.
got loads of shit because I've got something wrong with me. I've got scarcity
You
mindset.
said
I've got 86 skulls that need a home. Okay, let's have a look. Anyway, thanks, John. Knocker Cottage. Look it up on Airbnb and go and stay in it. It's fucking
yeah, it
great.
looked lovely. Whereabouts was it, by the way?
It's in Camborne, Penponds. So it's
Oh,
about
Camborne!
Camborne. So
Pick up a cheap place
it's
there.
not in Camborne, it's outside Camborne, but it's like 10, 15 minutes from Hell's Mouth. Like it's beautiful. Like you just got drive out there and then you've got all that running and
Yeah.
it's just
That
freaking
area is actually really
lovely.
good, and it is actually cheap. Camborne Redruth area is, well, there's a reason for some of that, but is cheaper. But you are so close to like the North Cliffs, so it's great.
Exactly, like it's bloody lovely. It's there's some semi-rural bits on the outside.
Yeah.
Right. I did send these over, didn't I? So let's have which one do you want to answer today?
Let me just have a look. Which one did I quite like? Nikki.
You're good. Yep, go then.
So, Nikki, do you want me to read it out?
Yes, boss.
Hi, Ali and presenters. I just wanted to share what the hardest thing I find is after listening to this week's episode.
It's not listening to this week's episode. That's not the hardest thing. When I first read that, I was like, fucking hell, that's harsh. I was like, oh, you've skim read it. I saw what she said.
That is so funny. Time management. I'm a full-time working mum, studying for a master's as well. Well done. I know time can be managed to accommodate a lot of this, especially the kids. Love the other podcast where you said the guy at the Dragon's Back was a dad, and that's why it's hard. I don't remember you saying that, but a lot of
No,
us are parents.
he was like he was sat at dinner and he was like, oh, the reason I can't do this is because I've got five kids. And I'm like,
Oh
honestly, let me
yeah.
go out here and just get some fucking women in. who've also got five kids.
A lot of us are parents, we fit it in. And as you know, from your athlete with the five, I find the juggle with life tough. Yes, I can fit in the run early, late at night, but in all honesty, some days I just can't be bothered. I know discipline and all that jazz, but some weeks it's hard. I hope everyone agrees with this to some degree. I just want to share my toughest thing. Thanks for another season of the podcast.
It is
It's brilliant. That's from
brilliant.
Nikki. Thank you, Nikki.
It
Thanks
is
for sharing
brilliant.
that. It is brilliant. And I really like that she's really honest about that because, again, there'll be a lot of people who are looking at what other people are doing and thinking, why can't I do that? Because they're doing it. Are they really doing it? We don't know. But I think time
We're
management.
on to you.
If someone's trying to ring me, go away.
We're fucking on to you.
We
People
know that
aren't
you're
doing it.
not. We know that you're not doing it. I've got some. It's just, okay, I'm just going to tell you this. So I'm not on Strava, but I do look at some people's Stravas.
Sneaky little Strava
Yeah. And I look at some of them, the ones that are saying they're doing all this stuff, and then I don't know what they're thinking because they're putting stuff on Strava and then they're saying other stuff.
Yeah, and
And
it's
I look at
public.
Strava and
Their
they're like,
Strava's public.
I know. And I'm like, you have ran 20 miles this week and you're training for like an epic thing and you're going on about it. You're not training.
No. Except you're putting on Instagram that you are. You're putting photos of it and
Yeah.
stuff.
Yeah. And you're a coach.
Oh yeah, but perfect. That's not. Oh my God, I've been looking at my Strava. The other day, we looked at someone's Strava who has said that they did something that they weren't doing. Me and Kirsty, we were doing an investigation,
Yeah.
and but it's their heart rate. Technically, they were dead. Oh, they've died.
The other thing is, this person puts on, who puts on, they did yoga for 6 minutes. Do you put that on
The
Strava?
same person that walks to that puts writes putting the bin out on Strava and does 0.65 miles.
It's so weird. And then, yeah, just, and then other things like, I've noticed a lot of people do 3 runs a day and they're like 1.5 kilometers.
That's walking to the bus stop.
Yeah. Anyway.
But do you know what, guys? You fucking do you. The
Yeah.
problem that we have, like everyone can use Strava for whatever they want to use Strava for. The problem we have is when people are lying about it on other
Yeah.
social media
And
platforms.
who gives people kudos for doing 6 minutes of yoga? A lot of people.
I don't give kudos for anything ever because I don't use Strava like that. I literally use it as a record of what I've done, but so that I know what I've done. Like, and also I use it as a record of recovery. So I'm like, oh, that worked. What did I do then? Like, because I forget. You forget you took 2 weeks off, don't you? Yeah, really fucking interesting stuff. But again, Strava's not the problem. It's your thought, not yours, listener. Strava's not the
Yeah.
problem. It's your thoughts about Strava that are the problem. Strava's just Strava. It's not, Strava doesn't have any judgment in it. Strava doesn't have any pressure in it, and it doesn't have any stress in it. Strava's just fucking Strava. It's your thoughts about Strava that are the problem. So think about those.
Well,
Anyway, back to Nikki.
back to Nikki. So, yeah, time management. I mean, time management for loads of people is an issue, whether you've got kids, dogs, work, all of that sort of stuff.
A
But I
deep
think,
and enduring sense of despair and grief.
well, yeah, all of those things, mental health issues, etc. And I think that people are just, ex I think people now are just exhausted with, a lot of people are exhausted with life, exhausted with, oh, just things that are happening in the world. But I think you've got to understand that everyone, some weeks are hard. And I think it's, you need to think about really more about consistency over perfection. That was the thing I was trying to say. So I think that people are trying to like, think that they have to do this many things a week, or they have to do, they have they feel that they have to do this certain amount of runs, cross training, whatever for perfection. And I think it's about, I think also for Nikki, she did say that she doesn't really have what's going to say, she doesn't have a plan, like a goal. And I think that would be helpful. And that doesn't have to be a big race or a challenge or anything. Potentially, if she has something to aim for, that would maybe make her ha make that time. And that could be 20 minutes or 30 minutes. It doesn't even have to be a big thing. Because I think that's the other thing. People think they have to be doing big runs or big training sessions, or they can do stuff at home, or they can do stuff with their kids. I think that if you really want to do stuff, you will make time for it, but you just have to be a little bit more, kinder to yourself. You know, I think that juggling life and everything can get in the way. But if you say, actually, I'm going to take 30 minutes every week where I do this particular thing, like you could, it could be a class, it could be a group run, it could be something that you say, that's, you almost like need to schedule it, that it's something in the diary. And if that's what you want to do, I mean, she hasn't said that's exactly what she's doing. She says, sometimes I just can't be asked. But it's obviously playing on her mind that she obviously does want to do some of this stuff, but is incredibly busy and just frazzled by it all. Whereas if you have something in the diary, like if say if your kids have a, the kids have a football on Saturday, that's always going to happen. Why don't you have something on a Tuesday night
So
that
what's
you have?
really like what so she says I find the juggle with life tough and I can fit in the early the run early late at night, but in all honesty I can't sometimes I just can't be bothered. I know discipline and all that jazz. It's not really about discipline. And that thing that you just said about consistency is really interesting. So the other day I had a group call with my athletes and I said to them, they were talking about consistency. We've done so much work on consistency and what consistency means. And consistency isn't doing the same thing every week. And consistency isn't running the same amount of miles every week. And consistency isn't doing. So I said to them, look at this Strava graph. And so I showed them a Strava graph for a year, right? And it's like that. Right. And I was like, do you think this person is consistent? And they went, no. And I went, that's my Strava graph. And they were like, fuck. And I'm like, I'm the most consistent person you will meet. Because I really, because I prioritize my running. I'd say I'm lucky enough not to have children. I've chosen not to have children. I live a very lonely and vacuous life with my dog. But I don't have anyone to answer to. And I run my own business. And I'm not lucky to do that. I've chosen to do that. I've chosen this lifestyle. And I put my running as a priority because I need because being outside in nature is my higher power and I need that for my well-being, right? So obviously that goes in first, but it's only usually only an hour a day. Like at the weekends, it's a few more hours, but usually it's just an hour, maybe 2 hours if it's a 10-mile run. And then the gym is like I always put 3 hours for the gym so I can go and sit in the sauna afterwards and take some fucking me time. But I do start work at fucking up past 6 in the morning. And I don't finish till 7. So that's my choices, right? That's how I've like dictated my lifestyle. But I don't do the same thing every week. And I'll do a big race and it'll drop to nothing because obviously I have 2 weeks off or a week off. And then it will suddenly go 20 miles, 30 miles, 40 miles, 50 miles, 45 miles, 48 miles, 37 miles, 50 miles. That's consistency because I'm constantly showing up to do the
Yeah,
work. I'm just not
you're
doing the
doing
same
something.
thing every fucking day, right? But I think people think you need that flat Strava graph. It needs to be flat and it needs to be exactly the same thing all the time. But that's not what it is. People really misunderstand consistency. And that whole thing about discipline, it's not about discipline. It's about the result you want to create for your family, for yourself, and for your body. What is the result you want to create? Write it down and create that result. So if it's like I want to move my body 3 times a week, just write that. That's enough. Moving your body 3 times a week, whether that's a yoga class or just going outside and shaking it off or having a walk, that's enough. But it's
Yoga for
making that
lips.
yoga, yeah, making that time for yourself. And because of the fucking phone and because of the fact we are constantly supposed to be available all the time, not only to our work, but to our children. We're supposed to be constantly available to everybody at all times. People don't carve out that time. Like, I wonder when the last time you sat in front of the TV without your phone next to you was, Or I wonder when the last time you went anywhere without your phone. This is why I really like contrast therapy because in a sauna and cold plunge, you can't,
Yeah, you can't do
there's no
the
distraction. It's just your breath and it's just you being able to literally focus on yourself for that time, which is like usually an hour or 90 minutes. And it's making that and not the I should be doing this. Everyone will think I'm a bad mum. My kids will think I'm selfish. You've got no fucking control over what other people think. It doesn't matter. It's none of your business anyway. It's about what you think. It's about the result you want to create. This isn't me having a go, but this is me like literally I want you to listen to this, listener, and I want you to write it down. The amount of kickback I get on this because people are like, this is just the way my life is. But it's not just the way your life is, it's the way it's been curated. And it doesn't need to be like that. And it is fucking hard to change, especially when you've like spent 15 years where you've had with your kids of like doing things this way or that way. But it is possible to carve out that hour a day. It's an hour a day. That's all it is,
Yeah,
isn't it?
I know. The thing is, you will get kickback on that because people will say, no, I don't, literally don't have an hour a day. But I think everyone has 20, 30 minutes a day where they're either doom scrolling or watching Netflix where they could not do that and do something else. And it doesn't have to be go out for a run. It could be doing some stuff with your kids that's active. Or if we're talking about being active and movement, you can do a class, you can do something, just go for a walk.
Go to the climbing wall.
Yeah, exactly. You can do Well, you could do things that are for free, and I think that, or just taking your dog for a walk. I think it's really important to. There's a really interesting question on. So I'm doing the scholar masters with Steve Magnus, and there was a really good question that someone had put in on Discourse about they'd got athletes. So you get a mixture of coaches who coach obviously elite, top of the game athletes, and then you've got a lot of high school coaches, and you've got people who coach. Normal people like us, okay? And they were saying, what do you say about if my athletes can only run 4 or 5 times a week, but what's the thought process of just doing like three of those runs hard, and then a long run or something? And then what do they do the rest of the time? Is it better that they just do nothing and put their feet up and recover, or is it better to do easy runs even though it's a struggle for them? And that was a really good question that came back. And the answer was, it's always better to do something, some sort of movement. It doesn't have to be a run or something. It can be literally going for a walk. It could be going to the gym or something like that. There's physiological reasons for that, but and it's about bet it's better that if you can just do some sort of movement. And it's just saying, if you everyone has time to doom scroll, everyone has time to watch television, because most people are. And if you just get rid of that, not it doesn't even have to be every day, 2 or 3 times a week, and get outside.
One of the things I'm finding out about myself, and everybody knows this, is that the effect that my upbringing has had on me, and the effect that the parenting I've had has had on me, or the lack of parenting. And that's another thing to think about as a parent, I think, because growing up, I never knew a woman that rested. I
Yeah,
didn't have an
my
example of a
mom.
woman that rested or had her own time. My example of a woman was fucked because my mum had five kids. And it was the 1980s. And it was always doing something. We were told off if we weren't doing something,
Yeah, if you sat
lazy,
down,
you're gonna get square eyes.
you've got nothing to do then.
My mum was always harassed, and she was always doing something, and her behaviour around men was just fucking appalling, and it's now been inherited by me. But that you see those things. So having a parent who's like, I'm gonna take this time to go on my run, I'm gonna take this time to do my yoga, I'm gonna take this time for me, is a fucking great example. If you have a parent this is, I don't have kids, but I was a kid. If you have a parent, whatever your parents are going to do, that is going to be, we're incapable when we're children of blaming our parents. So we think that whatever mood they're in is a result of our behavior because we can't see them as bad. That comes later, right? So yeah, if my dad was angry, which he got angry quite a lot, it was my fault and I had to change my behavior. And so I saw this being this busyness, and I was taught this busyness is the most important thing. Not time for yourself, give your time to everybody else, share everything. Like, I didn't do any exercise until I was like 30, like, because it just wasn't encouraged. My brothers did football, but there wasn't any time for me to do any exercise. And also, I was a girl, so I was told to be quiet, read my books, and not be bossy and not cause a fuss. Stop causing a fuss, right? So seeing an adult, whether your kids are boys or girls, go, this is the time I'm going to take for me to do my exercise, and this is why I'm doing it. And even saying to your kids, come and have a go with me, that is such a fucking skill for them to learn, that you don't always have to be available, you don't always have to be looking at your phone, and you are allowed to take time for yourself. It is not selfish. The only reason people think that it's selfish is because they've been taught it's selfish by their parents. And it's this generational trauma will just keep going through children if you don't fucking stop it. So that's just another way to look at it, like setting this amazing example of like, it's important, especially for females, to have your time that's important for you to do what you want to do, whether that's swimming or whether that's reading or whether that's watching a candle burn from the top all the way to the bottom, whatever that is. I think it's really important. And I think maybe that could be helpful to people when they're like, I'm being selfish, because you're not being fucking selfish.
Yeah, true. I think a lot of people, I've got certain friends are saying, oh, look, I have to do this for my children. I have to take them to expensive places and I need to buy them all this sort of stuff. And it's like, actually, they probably don't really, they're not that bothered. They don't need all of this. And also, it becomes just the norm that that's what they expect every weekend or holidays. What
I'm so glad I've got a dog.
God, so am I. And also, God, I was having a conversation with someone yesterday in the pet shop about that, like just, being I shared something on Instagram the other day about like all the things, the memories from when I was growing up. Like, and you look back and you go, oh yeah, like when you'd book your holiday on Teletext and you had no idea where you were going. And just
Holiday luxury.
no, this is when I was a bit older, to be fair, not when I was a kid. We didn't ever have holidays, but just things like we didn't have a TV when I was growing up. That was cool. And then when we got a TV, it was like, well, what do we do with it? Just like lots of things. And I realize now we were like one of the last generations to not, to have all of that, to not have Wi-Fi, not have telephones, telephones, all of that sort of stuff. And
I
God,
think
I
probably the hardest thing, if we're
think
going to look at
those.
doing hard things, is probably having children. At this age, that is probably the hardest thing.
Yeah, so yay us, because we haven't done a really hard thing.
No, we're just fucking.
But that is out of choice, people,
Yeah.
okay? So remember that. It's not that I made that choice and I stick with it. There's not a day that goes by, and I know I'll get people going mad at me for this, but there's not a day that goes by that I think I wish I'd had children.
Sometimes I do when I feel really lonely or I hang out with
Do you?
mates. Yeah.
No.
But then I'm like, if I made a massive mistake, but then I'm like, I don't want to pass on this mental health problem. So that's the biggest thing for me, is not passing on the generational trauma and not passing on the mental health illness. So I just put my generational trauma into my dog. Actually, it's bollocks. I don't put it into my dog's not got generational trauma.
He is absolutely fine with the
He's living the
world.
fucking life of Riley, old Pete.
Is of dried vulvas arrive at the doorstep. She's just living her best
The other
life.
day, we were in a spa hotel, 4-star spa hotel, right? Which I frequent quite often because it's halfway here to Cornwall. And I was like, oh, I want to go sauna, but I'll have to leave Pickle in the room. I hope she's going to be all right. You know, he's a little bit worried. Like, what is she
She's
going to be
lounging on
howling?
the bed
Is she going to
watching
be howling?
television.
Yeah. I fucking went to the. So I shared a dinner. Well, we had
Ordered room
breakfast. We had
service.
breakfast together. She got given a sausage by the fucking chef. She'd already had her dinner, but she had a sausage. And then I put her in the room. I was a bit worried. I went and had my sauna and spent like an hour in the spa. I came back, opened the door. She didn't even come to the door. She was spread eagled on like a king size bed in
Yeah,
this
put me
fucking
back
five
then.
star hotel. She sort of looked at me like, shut the door after you, yeah? She's just living the fucking life, that dog.
I like that with Lem. I'll come in quite often. If we've left the stair gate open, he's up on the bed. He won't come down for about
No, and it's like sometimes you're like, God, I haven't seen Pickle for an hour. You're like, oh my God, I hope she's not dead. And you go upstairs and she's got her head on my fucking
Lem is at the back.
Emma Shipley pillows, scatter cushions. You're not supposed to go. You're not supposed to put your head on the scatter cushions. That costs
Mum, put
380 quid.
the biscuits in the bowl, will you? I'm hungry.
Your home.
There's a shit in the back garden. Pick it up, will you?
Shut the curtain, will you, Mum? Yeah, there you go. Little
Yeah,
fuckers.
love them, love
Okay, this
them.
has been fun. Thanks for talking to me. What else were we gonna say? That's it. I'm gonna go and eat some food, and then I'm
Are you
gonna.
gonna do your session?
Yeah, but I'm gonna eat my carbohydrates now, and then upload the
Yeah.
podcast, and then
Well,
do
this
it.
is the issue, people, when we do this podcast. It's a very annoying time because it's too early. Because I've got to take the dog out first
Ooh.
to do my running. So I've already had breakfast, because obviously I need breakfast as soon as I wake up or I'm vile. And then I'll have to have another little breakfast before I go out and do, well, my run, whatever I'm going to do, run, cross train. Because I've done that before. I've not had any carbs. This is really important, intellectual, informational podcast section here. It's really important to have those carbs just before you go out and do your run. So don't leave having breakfast and then doing your run or session a lot later. You need something else.
It's fucking mad how many of my athletes are like, oh, I feel really tired. I'm like, what did you eat before you went out? They're like, nothing.
Nothing. Yeah, I
And I'm
know.
like, right, so you went and did this, my session was really hard. Okay, so what did you eat before you went out? What did you drink? Nothing. Have you ever thought about maybe having some like carb drink, or maybe even taking a fucking gel? Because that's what
Difficult
they're
to
there
carry.
for.
Too difficult to carry.
Or they're just like, oh, but gels for races. It's like, no. If you want to perform to your best ability, you need to get the carbohydrates in you. So just fucking do it.
So what are you going to have now?
Porridge and then active root, and then I will take a gel with me.
I don't understand. I really don't understand how people can do porridge and then do a run. It's just, I can't do it.
Yeah, but I'm sturdy.
I have to have
I've got
toast.
sturdy insides. Let's just
Oh.
check what Sarah's doing before we leave. Just check that there's been no
Did you see the
disasters.
graphic I put up on my Instagram? It's
Yeah,
fucking amazing.
it's amazing, isn't it?
I
That's
stole that from
why.
someone else's, but I thought it was really good.
That's why I love the internet. She's still going, everybody. 383 miles.
And Megan is as
78
well.
hours. Yeah, Megan is. Have you seen those two? They're running together for some laps, and
Do
Megan's
you think they're like
just.
this? Like eyeing each other out?
I don't
Like,
know.
have you been really
They're either
well?
going to get on really well,
Yeah. Trip over.
or they're going to not get on really well. But they
Did
seem to be
Sarah
having a
know that before?
laugh. No, she didn't. But Megan is like, it's really interesting to watch them because they're so different, which I think is so great. And women, you should be watching this. Or it's too late for you to watch it now. But they're so different looking to two women that look completely different. One of them looks like a track and field star, and one of them looks like a fucking little supermodel. Like, it's
What are you
in.
going to say
No,
then?
because she's so beautiful. She's like a Russian doll, isn't she, Sarah? But
Yeah.
like, it's fascinating
She's a bit of a
because when,
pocket person.
yeah, when. Polly Pocket, that's what she is. Polly Pocket with teeth. But like, I tell you what, like, looking at them, if you've got this thing of I don't look like a runner, go and look at Backyard Ultras. Go and look at them, because they literally have some people from all walks of life there who all look different, and there is no one size fits all, which I think is amazing, but still nearly 400 fucking miles.
Actually, that's a very good point. Backyard Ultras, you will look at the Backyard Ultra at the start, and if you don't know much about Backyard Ultras, you'll go, oh, that person's going to win. And they are normally the ones that stop first. And it's always, so the one I did, which was the limitless one, obviously I finished quite early. And the winners were the two people that came in last all the time when I
You
was doing it.
cannot call a backyard ultra. You
You
can't
can't.
call it.
It's brilliant. And again, I think it was a tie between, no, it can't have been a tie. Maybe she came first or second. It was a lady, an older lady. And I was like, I would never have called it. But yeah, there you go. So yeah, Backyard Ultra is really interesting. I think it's a really interesting concept. And you will see all shapes and sizes, ages, etc. And it's a real mind fucking game. Like, do I run too fast? Do I run too slow? What do I do? Do I get cold? Do I eat too much? I think I put weight on doing the Backyard Ultra.
I just think the mindset is fascinating, because I think I've got quite a strong mindset, like I'm quite good at like sorting my thoughts out, but I don't think I could do that.
I think it's just there's so many elements that are hard, and it's the same route. I know this one's slightly different, but it's the same route. It's depend, and it's also the route that you do. Like, so the limitless one was quite good because it was sort of on a trail and it had it was quite hilly, so therefore it was a bit slower. Or the really flat ones, which are really boring. I can't understand why people would do that. And it's
They're meant to
about,
be flat. Backyards are meant to be flat.
okay. So the limitless one isn't, but there's it's like, do you how do you if it's cold, if it's really bad weather, how do you keep warm? How, you know, where do you sleep? What do you eat? It's stuff like that. There's so many things, and you're really just, and you're only running 4 point something
And
miles.
you're fucking knackered. So you've got 9 minutes to make decisions.
And like you said, and the other thing is you're potentially stuck with the same people that you may not like for the same time, and you can't really get away from them.
I was stuck with this bloke who told me that David Goggins was his hero. It's one of the reasons I
Oh,
stopped running.
so there's all of those sort of things. Yeah, so.
Okay, on
And I
that
don't.
note, we're going to go now, because otherwise we're going to be keep talking all day. But
Yeah. Right
love
then. Bye.
you. Keep your
Love you.
questions
Bye.
coming in, and I'll see you next week.
Oh, can you also all be really good in the comments, maybe on Instagram as well? I would be really genuinely interested to see what people, male and female, their initial thoughts as of what Sarah's doing, both Sarah's are doing or done. What they thought about it, their first initial thoughts.
Okay, do that then. Love you, bye. Thank you so much for listening to the Running Won't Save You podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, would you mind nipping to Spotify, iTunes, wherever you get your pods, and just leaving us a review, but also hitting that subscribe button? God, I hate saying that, but it really does help us with our numbers, and that helps us to attract better sponsors, and that means that we can do this more often. So if you can do that, we will be very grateful. We are on Instagram, it's at Running Won't Save You Pod. And just a quick shout out to some people who I personally support and would love for you guys to check out as well. They are the Green Runners. You can join the Green Runners, get yourself a patch and feel very smug. Pair Ups, who will fix shoes. They send you shoe fixing kits. Look them up on Instagram. Pre-loved Sports, don't buy new kit, you don't need it. The most sustainable kit you've got is the kit you're already wearing. So head to Pre-loved Sports website and you'll be able to buy amazing kits super cheap. I bought a Montane Gecko vest the other week for like £30, and I wore it for the Dragon's Back. It was incredible. Into Ultra are a charity who work to make ultra running available to everybody, helping pay for coaching, helping pay for physio, helping pay for race entries. So go over and see what they're doing, see if you can help, see if you can donate. And finally, Reaction Collective, who are an incredible group of people who fix kit, who can recycle kit, and who generally have loads of information about how you can be a bit more of a sustainable runner. We will see you next week.